This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
Good morning to you and welcome to CBS This Morning. It's Friday, February 19th, 2021. I'm Gail King with Anthony Mason and Tony DeCoppo. Millions of people in Texas who endured massive power cuts are now facing critical shortages of drinking water. It's another day of bitter cold. It means more burst pipes and flooded homes, while many remain without power for a fifth day in a row. Think about that for a second. And nearly 12 million Texas residents are facing disruptions to their water service, in part due to problems at the treatment plants. Texas power officials say on Sunday night they were just seconds or minutes away from the entire collapse of the energy grid, which potentially would have left millions of people in the dark for months. Omar Villafranca is in Dallas with more on this story. Omar, it is such a mess. It's still being investigated. What are issues that people are still dealing with today, 5 days later?
Well, one of the things that you mentioned that's good, people are starting to get their power back on. But now that the lights are on, this is what they're having to deal with. Take a look at this apartment complex, a water pipe burst and just cascaded down into these apartments. It looks like a frozen waterfall. All the things that were inside these belongings, they're ruined. People are having to throw them away. That's going to be a costly tab to recover. Another thing that may surprise you, people are going to be dealing with a surprisingly high electric bill.
We walked in and about two-thirds of the ceiling was collapsed. There was sheetrock all over the floor and water was just gushing in.
Joel Burns didn't have power, but he had flowing water in all the wrong places.
It's disheartening.
This week, Burns says he reached out to 14 different restoration companies for help with repairs, like busted pipes and damaged drywall. All 14 companies declined because they were not available or the job was too big.
Do you think that your insurance company is going to be able to treat you one of probably a million other cases?
I think ultimately, yes, but it's not going to be fast. We're going to be dealing with this for probably over a year.
And insurance will not cover everything.
It'll cost us thousands. I mean, already we've just in the, you know, supplies and stuff to clean this up, we're into many hundreds.
Governor Greg Abbott has asked President Biden to declare a major disaster declaration.
If granted, this will give Texans the ability to apply for individual assistance from FEMA. That individual assistance will assist them with funding to restore damage to their homes.
But repairs aren't the only financial burden Texans are now facing.
Absolutely. Are you worried about what your next electric bill is going to look like?
I'm happy because our rate's locked in, but the nature of deregulation is some people have fluctuating rates and theirs are going to go up.
Most residents enter into one of two types of contracts with energy providers, a higher fixed rate or variable. Variable meaning customers take the chance and can pay low rates when demand is low and higher rates when demand rises. Houston resident Megan O'Neill paid over $2,000 in 2 days. Her February bill is now more than $3,000.
It's like, okay, do I feed my family or do I run the heat? Which one do I do?
Joshua Rhodes, an energy expert at the University of Texas, explains that those with fixed rates could also pay more in the future.
That effect will take later as, you know, utilities and the like assess, you know, how much money that they need to recoup. Eventually, the customer always pays, you know, kind of at the end of this.
The mayors of Houston and Dallas know this is going to be costly, and they're already raising money for a fund to help residents with those repair bills. But cities are also going to have monster repair bills. Take this stat into consideration. In the city of Dallas alone, they're going to have to repair 250 water mains that burst during the freeze. Anthony?
Omar, thank you. Acting FEMA Administrator Bob Fenton joins us now. Good morning, Mr. Fenton. What are you doing at this point in time? What is FEMA doing on the ground in Texas right now?
Yeah, Anthony, we have teams and resources supporting Texas with things like fuel, water, meals, blankets, and other supply items to support the population there that's been in the cold for almost a week now.
Yeah, and temperatures are expected to drop back into the teens tonight. What has you most worried?
Well, what has me most worried is making sure that people stay warm. Texas has set up a number of places, shelters that they could go, warming stations where people could go. So if you're cold, don't stay in your house. Go to one of the warming stations.
Governor Abbott has asked President Biden to declare a major disaster declaration in Texas. How would that impact your ability to provide relief? Can you do more with that?
Yeah, so the president declared an emergency declaration leaning forward this weekend. That provided me the ability to direct the federal government resources, so all federal agencies to support the state of Texas. In addition to that, it provided me the ability to reimburse some costs to Texas for this response. The major declaration that the governor is requesting now allows me to not only do more things to repair permanent infrastructure, but also the ability to help individuals. So we just got that this morning, and we'll be evaluating that and meeting with the president here to discuss it later on today.
When you say help individuals, what do you mean? What can you do?
Well, first, you know, individuals should start with their insurance. That's the critical way that individuals, you know, the quickest way and the best way to make yourself whole is through insurance. So we recommend that if you have insurance, go through that. Our individual assistance program supplements things like insurance to either help you with uncovered costs or other costs to make your home habitable. In addition to that, SBA is typically made available in disasters, and that is another form of assistance through low-interest loans that could help individuals.
Has the pandemic in any way limited your ability to get relief to Texas?
No, the pandemic hasn't limited it. If anything, I've had staff there from the pandemic as we were in the process of opening many community vaccine centers across many states. So I've had staff there working on those. In fact, we are still hopeful to set up some 3 community vaccine centers next week in Houston, Dallas, and Arlington. So it allowed me to have staff there already to start responding to this.
Bob Fenton, thank you very much for being with us this morning. We really appreciate it. Acting FEMA Administrator.
Thank you.
And the multiple storms in Texas and throughout the country are adding a new urgency to the bipartisan push for new funding for America's states and cities. In a letter, more than 400 mayors are imploring Congress to approve $350 billion in aid as part of the president's COVID relief plan. Ed O'Keefe spoke with a mayor from each party.
One's a Democrat.
City government is hurting. Revenues are gone.
The other, a Republican.
We are certainly doing a little bit more with a little bit less.
And these two mayors of Baltimore and Oklahoma City agree. Congress needs to come together quickly to help cities struggling to balance the books. What's happening in big cities isn't unique. Smaller towns like Waterville, New York, and Waterloo, Iowa, are also struggling to provide essential services as tax revenues dry up. So they're all asking for help.
I'm still looking for the mayor of a city, blue or red, who hasn't experienced a negative financial impact from the pandemic.
Oklahoma City's Republican mayor, David Holt, says the downturn caused by the pandemic means he can't make good on a law passed 2 years ago that requires hiring 120 new police officers.
That has meant, you know, freezing the hiring of lots of positions, especially in police and fire, because that's basically two-thirds of our budget.
In Baltimore, Democratic Mayor Brandon Scott says a drop in tourism revenue means he's facing at least a $30 million shortfall.
Convention Center is a COVID testing center and a vaccination site, so no one's having conventions there.
Last year, Congress gave hundreds of billions of dollars to cities and states, but only to pay for COVID-related expenses like buying protective equipment. Baltimore and Oklahoma City each got more than $100 million. Now, President Biden's nearly $2 trillion American Rescue Plan would provide about $350 billion in direct aid to cities and states. Polls show a majority of Americans support the president's legislation, but most Republican lawmakers say it's too expensive and that taxpayers in one part of the country shouldn't have to bail out somebody else's cash-strapped city.
This legislation, this proposal, is a blue state bailout.
We should help on COVID relief. I want targeted help for people. But to bail out these blue states makes no sense.
But Republican Holt from Ruby Red, Oklahoma, disagrees.
The idea that you know, there are places that haven't experienced an economic downturn and therefore an impact on their city services, that place doesn't exist.
And Democratic Mayor Scott is less diplomatic.
This is about a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic and the fallout that was made worse, ironically, by the inaction of a Republican president. To still be talking in partisan talking points just shows that we still have folks who do not want to grow up, do their job, and help American citizens.
The White House is still trying to build Republican support for the legislation, which the House is set to pass as early as next week. Democrats on the Hill are hoping to get that bill to the president by mid-March. Gail, it also includes proposed $1,400 direct payments to struggling Americans.
Ed, before we go, we wanted to get your take on the controversy that is currently swirling around Texas Senator Ted Cruz. He's taking a lot of incoming now about his family's poorly timed trip to Cancun. He is now calling it a mistake, and here's how he explained it last night.
We had spent 2 days without power, and my girls wanted to take a trip with their friends and frankly get somewhere where it was warmer, and Heidi and I agreed. We took them. Frankly, leaving when so many Texans were hurting didn't feel right, and so I changed my return flight and flew back on the first available flight I could take.
A lot of people, Ed, around the country hitting their head going, what the hell was he thinking? Not to mention there's pictures of his little dog, Snowflake Poodle, who's standing in the door also looking forlorn. So I want to know, what do you make of his decision to go and his explanation now about it was a mistake?
Yeah, I mean, look, who among us wouldn't like to get to Cancun after all this weather? But, you know, you're just not supposed to be doing that kind of thing right now. And he's hardly the first political leader, especially in recent months, to basically tell constituents, do as I say, not as I do. Take the example of California Governor Gavin Newsom, who was photographed last fall at a birthday party inside a five-star Napa Valley restaurant without appearing to wear a mask or socially distance, despite his own guidance otherwise. It's just one of the incidents now driving a potential recall campaign against him. And when the Democratic mayor of Austin, Texas, took his own trip to Cabo San Lucas, Mexico, back in December, Cruz hailed him as one of several, quote, complete and utter hypocrites. The bigger point here is that legislators like Cruz can actually be doing a lot to help their communities right now. They could be calling federal officials, like the FEMA director we just heard from, to make sure that enough aid is getting in. He sent a letter to the White House asking for federal assistance over the weekend, but you got to follow up. Be calling other agencies to make sure that they're providing small business relief. He could be opening up his district offices across the state of Texas as relief centers. I've spoken with legislators across the country who've been doing that over the course of the pandemic. He is a public servant. And it seems Texas probably deserves a little more public service from him, Gail.
Yes, while he's wearing a mask from the state of Texas. I'm sure he regrets it now. And now he's back to work. Thank you, Ed.
The first clinical trial in the U.S. is studying how the coronavirus vaccine affects pregnant women is underway. Pfizer told us they've already administered the first dose. The drug maker plans to enroll around 4,000 women in the international study, pregnant adults between 24 and 34 weeks along are eligible to participate. Each one will be monitored for about 7 to 10 months. Pregnant women are at higher risk for severe illness with COVID-19. The CDC has said expectant mothers can get vaccinated, but they should talk with their health care provider first.
Newly released video is shedding light on the moments before police shot and killed a homeless man in California. 42-year-old Kurt Reinhold was killed last September in San Clemente, that's south of L.A. Deputies had stopped him for alleged jaywalking. As Jonathan Vigliotti reports, the incident is now under investigation. And we should warn you once again, this video is disturbing.
This is a blatant, racially motivated stop.
The video begins with Orange County Sheriff's deputies eyeing Kurt Reinhold as he crosses the street. You can hear audio of officers debating whether Reinhold is jaywalking.
Control, man. I don't know. It is.
When they approach him on the sidewalk, the confrontation escalates quickly. This cell phone video was shot by a witness across the street.
Stop touching me! Stop touching me! Why are you stopping? What is your problem? Why are you touching me?
The deputies wrestle Reinhold to the ground, and the sheriff's department claims a deputy can be heard yelling, "He's got my gun," before one of them opens fire. While the sheriff's department claims motel surveillance video shows Reinhold's hand on the weapon, it's not clear whether he was trying to unholster it.
We withhold judgment and do not draw any conclusions about whether or not our deputies
acted in a manner consistent with our policies and in accordance with the law until all facts are known and the investigations are complete.
Reinhold's death sparked protests in the city. The father of two had been diagnosed with schizoaffective disorder. The deputies were part of the homeless outreach team, which the family lawyer says should have been better trained to handle the situation. Attorney John Taylor, who represents Kurt Reinhold's family, says the officers targeted Reinhold before taking his life.
They create the confrontation. They escalate the confrontation. They're the first person to put their hands on him, and they end up, you know, taking his life.
For CBS This Morning, Jonathan Vigliotti, Los Angeles.
Reinhold's family has now filed a lawsuit. We did reach out to the Orange County Sheriff's Department for an interview or additional comment, but we did not hear back. A question to me is, why do you stop the guy for jaywalking or alleged jaywalking in the first place? I saw no cars in sight.
That's the issue. I mean, why stop him at all? I mean, he shouldn't have even been stopped from the looks of it. Jaywalking, really?
You know, a lot of people could say it's called living your life as a person of color in this country. It's just another example. I'm so glad that there is videotape.
Yes.
That there is videotape to show once again how this situation seemed to, from what we saw, escalate in a way that it really didn't need to.
Yeah.
It really didn't need to.
Why did he even start?
Let's start with that. Thank you for the videotape. The story is ongoing and we'll stay on top of it.
Thank you for listening to the CBS This Morning podcast.
Be sure to subscribe to get your morning news in under 20 minutes and daily podcast originals.
You can watch the CBS This Morning broadcast Monday through Saturday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on your local CBS station or live on the CBS All Access app.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to CBS Mornings on the go ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and host of the Money Watch podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It is a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and maybe more importantly, on your life. Follow Money Watch wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire, now streaming on Paramount+.